Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the DLC Drop Podcast. It's my pleasure to welcome Karsten Williams. He's an American Ninja Warrior competitor, ninja director, and a budding entrepreneur. He's going to take us all through his journey of discovering American Ninja Warrior, competing at the highest level, and how he has used this platform to help others. Join me in talking to Karsten.
Dropping the untold stories of industry leaders, influencers, and insights on future innovation. I'm John Davidson, and this is the DLC Drop Podcast.
All right, I'm very excited for this episode today on the DLC Drop Podcast. My friend Karsten Williams, who is an American Ninja Warrior competitor. He is a ninja director and budding entrepreneur. Thank you for joining me today on the show.
John, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here, man.
Yeah, so I have seen you on TV. I've seen you in these youth ninja facilities with my son. I cannot thank you enough. Number one, my son just turned 7, and this kid is coordinated, he's athletic, but it's the confidence that he's still working to get. And we took him to the facility, and he started out a little slow. By the end of the hour, two, maybe 3 hours, you know, he's jumping, he's hanging from stuff, he's not quite doing flips, but he's getting there. I'm just so excited to share your story today. It's been really inspirational to me, and it's been something, like I said, that's positively affected me and my family. So first of all, tell us a little bit about who you are in this American Ninja Warrior world.
Wow. Well, it was came from nothing, and then it turned into something. So, you know, I have an athletic background, always enjoyed fitness and being outside and climbing things in general as a kid. Mm-hmm. And really, this whole thing started by just me doing a Google search after watching the episode. So really, literally, I was on the couch or something, or a stool or something like that, maybe a stability ball, you know, because
sure.
I'm in fitness.
That's right.
Watching,
keeping the abs tight. I feel you.
And every time I caught, you know, Ninja Warrior on, I would always be watching it and thought it was super cool.
Yeah.
And one of those days where I just, you know, let me just look into this thing and see how I can potentially get on. So I went on Google, researched it, clicked on here, and it just said, apply now for next season. I'm like, oh, it's that easy. Okay. Went down the rabbit hole, filled a couple things out, and at the end, it was like the ultimate, like, dun, dun, dun. You need to make a 7 to 8 minute video recording you and telling us about yourself and all your different interests and stuff. And that's one thing I've never done is record a video.
Okay.
Didn't have a video recorder, but my buddy did. Called him up. Hey, man, I got to get this video done for this show. Don't ask questions. Can you do it? He said, yep. Fast forward. We got the video sent in and got a call back about a month later.
Wow.
And then that's how it all started.
That's incredible. So I'm just trying to unpack that really quick. So at the time, you're a personal trainer. Right. And so what was kind of your direction in life at that time? Did you know what you're going to do? Were you kind of searching for what was next?
Yeah. So leading up to that point, I was kind of bouncing around from like job to job. I had, you know, after high school, I tried community college for a little bit because that's what people did if, you know, they didn't have their plans.
I tried community college twice.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I did two semesters. So and then, you know, finally realized that wasn't for me. So just started working. Bouncing around, did construction, I did valet parking, you name it, I did it. I mean, I was bagging groceries and, you know, could have been making you a coffee too.
Sure.
So didn't have anything figured out. I was just kind of going with the wind, but I've always enjoyed fitness. So eventually I got into personal training.
Okay.
And, you know, that's kind of what I fell in love with. And that's when I applied for American Ninja Warrior. And fitness was definitely a big piece of my life. But I knew there was something else out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what that was quite at the time, but I soon found out that Ninja Warrior was my calling, or just the obstacle industry was my calling. And youth fitness was something that I was really led to do.
The DLC Drop Podcast is sponsored by Ice Shaker. I've been a huge fan of this brand for the past few years, ever since I met founder Chris Gronkowski. What I love about this product is the brand story, the functionality, and the customization. Ice Shaker is a Shark Tank company invested in by Mark Cuban and Alex Rodriguez, owned by NFL players Rob Gronkowski and Chris Gronkowski. I love using my Ice Shaker anytime I'm driving to the podcast studio, I'm going skateboarding, or I'm at the gym. No matter what I'm doing, it just does a great job of keeping my drinks hot or cold. The customization for Ice Shaker is something that's super unique. You can get any name, just about any logo, engraved onto your ice shaker and delivered to you within just 3 to 5 business days. Get your own DLC Drop branded ice shaker at iceshaker.com/DLC Drop. Save 20% on all ice shaker products with the discount code DLC Drop. So when you talk about sending this video, it takes me back to my skateboarding past. So I got sponsored when I was 14, and what that was back then, it wasn't posting clips on Instagram or tweeting at your favorite skateboarder. It was making a video like you're talking about, making a VHS tape and putting that in the mail to some company and hoping that they would open it, and then you're just going to the mailbox every day, you know, waiting for a response. When you're told to make this video, first of all, this was what, 9 years ago?
Yep.
Where did you do this video? Were there facilities around, or were you like, where's the closest monkey bars? Like, what?
Yeah, so no facilities around.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to do so much in the gym, doing pull-ups and laying out some balance agility obstacles. My buddy had the video camera. I'm thinking like, okay, I know like apartment stairs, you can climb up the apartment stairs and do, that's kind of Ninja Warrior-esque, and
sure,
trees. And so we literally just went about the city, found stuff to climb on. We would drive around, hey man, film me doing this right here. I'm gonna try it. I don't know if it's safe, but yeah, I'm gonna do it. I gotta get on this show. And that's pretty much what it turned out to be, is just finding random stuff around the city. Cool, like, you know, backgrounds, like old McKinney and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, at least the background's gonna be cool, so they'll appreciate that.
Sure.
And, you know, really, it was not a good video. I was not proud of it. It was a video, something I could send in. Not on VHS, but pretty close.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just filmed some stuff, some training, and it was like a interview portion where he was interviewing me and saying, hey, like, why are you going to be good on Ninja Warrior, and what are some superheroes that you relate yourself to? And I was just really being a goofball. And, you know, I just put it all together. We sent it in, and I guess they somehow liked it, or somebody was having an off day and they chose me to be on the show. So
doesn't matter. Here you are today.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's not a lot of salmon ladders down the street that you can then demonstrate, until we'll get in that a little bit later. But so, okay, so you're accepted, and then how quick from you getting that awesome acceptance letter to you're either on the show or you're trying out, like, what was that process look like?
Right, so I had no clue on how the process goes with getting on and any of that, so let alone just the applying process. So I was literally at the gym doing my training sessions as normal, missed a call from a California number.
No.
Like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So I couldn't check as I was training clients. And but I saw the missed call, got a voicemail. They say, hey, this is Ninja Warrior. Give us a call back. I was like, okay, well, they're probably not calling me back to tell me that I didn't get on. So I was kind of excited. Called them back, and they're like, hey, congratulations, you've been selected to compete on American Ninja Warrior. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then that kind of shocked too. I'm like, man, I'm not sure if I'm ready for this as well. But really cool. So it was about, I'd say about 3 weeks after I got the call. They're like, hey, just, you're going to be competing here. It's Denver, Colorado. You're going to be downtown. Just, you know, it's going to be out there for about 3 days, playing for that. And we'll see you out there. I'm like, all right. So here we are, and booking
trips
to...
You're based in Dallas at the
time, as well? Yep, based in Dallas. Pretty much growing up in Dallas area all my life. And so first time, I think it was my first time to Denver as well. I was pretty much a homebody, so Ninja Warrior kind of got me out of my comfort zone in more ways than one.
Now, in Denver, is that on TV, or is that you're qualifying to, if you win this, you get a chance in Vegas to go on TV, or what was that like?
Yeah, so how it works is that would be your qualifying. So people always think, hey, do you have to like apply to qualify, and how's it work? And so once you get the call, you go to a qualifier. But they do film 2 nights back to back. So they film the qualifying the first night, and then they'll film the second night, the what we call city finals. And again, this is all new to me, didn't know the process. And so I just showed up out there, and I'm just enjoying the moment. And then day before, nerves are getting there, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what to expect, but I came out there with all the confidence and woke up the next morning ready to rock and roll. And that's where my journey started.
How did that first qualifier go?
So it went. I showed up. So here's the, I was there, okay? This is the first part of competition, is just showing up. And I definitely showed up.
That's right. So, take the first spot.
Exactly. And, you know, the funny thing is, funny story is, before I left, everyone's like, hey, man, go out there and crush it, man. You're going to do great. You're built for this. Just do one thing for me. I'm like, what's that? They're like, don't fall on the first obstacle. That's going to be like the laughing stock. That's what everybody, that's what happens to people. You don't want to be that guy. I'm like,
right,
man, you know me.
Yeah.
So leading up to that point, I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I get on the starting platform. I got my routine going out. I'm flexing. I'm smiling. I'm playing to the fans. I'm like, man, I'm on TV here.
Yeah.
And we take one step. There's five quad steps at the time.
Are the ones that are angled on the side, and you kind of go.
Yep.
Like
so you got
this,
these angle steps, bouncing, lateral bounding left to right. And definitely, I changed my approach last minute after seeing some parkour guys going really fast. And I was like, hey, this is my first opportunity to be on TV. I got to make the most of it. So I tried a very, more aggressive move that's a little bit more exciting to watch. Hadn't trained that. And I ended up falling on the fifth step. And into the water. It was cold out there, and oh my gosh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
What was your immediate thought the moment you hit that water?
Man, it was like a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was like, this is not actually the night. This is actually me going through this in my imagination the night before. But no, it was that cold water wakes you up, and it was very real. And it was just shocking. It was like embarrassing. It was just a letdown. Like everything I had built up leading to that point was just like gone.
Wow. So
terrible.
So to come back from that, number one, what's the response from the producers, from the other people around? Is it good luck and you're starting from square one again? Or is it, hey, this happens, but we see potential in you and let's give you another shot, or somewhere in between?
Yeah. So first thing from the producers, they're like, hey, don't splash the cameras, because I was a little bit frustrated, so I kind of swiped at the water and it got on some cameras. So like, hey, don't swipe the cameras. And then I had to get out the water, and they get right in your face as soon as you get out. Hey, what happened out there? What's going on? I'm like, just a misstep, and I'll be back next year, And so I didn't know what to expect after that. I know the process. I'm like, it's just kind of, you're out of there, and then
hopefully you don't have to make another video.
Yeah, it'd be a so sorry video from that terrible performance out there.
Yeah.
It's funny because I didn't know the process. So the next day, I had heard there was some kind of like wild card deal that they could actually move on. It was kind of producer discretion. So I'm like, I'm calling my producer. I'm like, hey, man, that was a bad performance. That's not me out there. Just give me another shot. I'm still here. Like, I'll be there next, tomorrow, and I'll be ready. No answer. So I eventually just go back home, and it was tough. Long flight home. And my mom was the first one to kind of really just get with me and say, hey, Carson, hey, that was your first time. Like, you got to get back up and get back out there. And so, after that, and I couldn't really tell too many people. You have to keep everything on the low until the episode airs.
Oh.
So that was the toughest thing, because everybody's asking.
That's what I was going to say. People are like, oh, how'd you do? Can't tell you. Okay, hey. You want to have a watch party? Nah, I'm good. I think I got to do some drinking.
It's a combination of all those things, actually. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so people ask me, hey, man, how'd it go? I'm like, come on, man, you know me. I'm like, dude, like, come on. Hey, man, I'm proud of you. No, you can't talk about it, but just, man, I just hope you didn't fall in the first obstacle. I'm like, dude, look, you got nothing to worry about. And so time moves on. We get close to the episode, and then now people are starting to talk about watch party. Deep down, I'm like, man, I don't want no watch party. Like, I'm doing a stay at home party. I don't want y'all to see me when it's time, when this goes on the air. I don't know how that worked as far as do you get airtime? Do they show every runner?
Sure.
All that's still new to me. So people are like, yeah, let's do a watch party. Here at the gym. I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do it. So I'm all in. We got
people sabotaging the TV.
Yeah, I'm pulling plugs, man. Like, it's not going off. Oh man, it was crazy because we're all there. It's the day of the competition. It's airing. I'm like, yep, I'm about to be on, man. This is my debut, and I'm just rolling with it now. I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
Kind of build up for the big fall, and so we get there and we're going through it. Episode is like, 10 minutes to the end. They're like, man, you gotta be coming up soon. Like, you were on here, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm on. They're saving the best for last, man. And we get to it, and the end of the episode, and they never showed me. And deep down, I'm like, yes. And they're like, hey, so what's up? Like, what's going on here? I'm like, man, actually, I don't know the process. I think there's like another episode, maybe. I'll get back to you. And so, yeah, that was it. And eventually, I found out that was the only episode they're going to air that I would potentially be on. I eventually just kind of had to tell everybody at some point down the road, like, hey, guys, unfortunately, I didn't do that well. I fell on the first obstacle. They didn't show me, and which I'm grateful for. But yeah, there's always next year, And that's kind of how my first season ended up for me.
So flash forward to your first successful, however you would describe successful. I think these courses, I don't know if anybody ever makes it to the end. It seems like there's always another one and another one. And, how far can you go? Was it the next time that you were successful in that by your standards, or was that multiple tries down the road.
So thankfully, I was allowed to get back on another season. And it was in Dallas at Fair Park. So
home field advantage.
I'm like, home field advantage. This is like the perfect setup. And thankfully, my second season was a breakthrough for me.
Awesome.
So I was so thankful for it. The environment, the stage was set. The environment was great. And so on that season, the qualifier, Dallas, I had all my people out there this time. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to let y'all down. I might let myself down. I'm not letting y'all down. And I passed the first course. So I hit the buzzer. Amazing feeling, man. No question. I mean, I missed my first attempt on the warped wall because that was my first time on it.
Yeah.
Again, still had no training. And my second attempt, I got up, hit that buzzer. I went nuts up there, man. They said, you know, they always tell you, hey, man, don't act like you've been there before, you know. But I hadn't been there before, so I had to act like it, man.
Right.
So ultimate feeling, and, you know, it was just, golly, that was really when I just felt like, okay, yeah, this is for me, you know.
That's awesome.
So, and I met so many people out there, Casey Catanzaro, Brent Stevenson, those were like the power couple of American Ninja Warrior at the time, and they'll kind of, you know, play a role in my next, you know, kind of journey in Ninja Warrior, at least in my career. And yeah, it was just an amazing feeling. So it was a breakthrough year, breakthrough second season for me. And then that city finals as well, that harder course extended version, it's got the salmon ladder and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I ended up finishing that course as well, which was huge. And it was just an amazing feeling, just to give me some confirmation that I was meant to be a Ninja Warrior.
Absolutely. Now, was that the second course that was more intimidating? Was that something that you expected to finish, or were you surprised at, wait a minute, I'm getting through this and my body's holding up and maybe this is a little easier than what I had psyched myself out for?
It was definitely challenging because Ninja Warrior is all about technique, and my technique was not polished at that time.
Yeah.
I definitely knew I had the strength to get through, you know, for the most part. Upper body stuff was always my kind of claim to fame.
Sure.
But I wasn't sure about my technique. But I just kind of kept through, you know, kept going, just kept pushing it. And, you know, some of the obstacles, I would just approach them and like, you know, I'm just going to go with what feels right.
Yeah.
I didn't really plan out every move like some people do. I just kind of went through it. And when I see it, I'm going to get to it, do it. And it all just worked out. Like, everything just came together. Everything looked smooth as well, which is good. And
yeah,
man, it was just, I mean, it was definitely something else working out there. It was not me. I mean, I say it was God. Somebody had a hand on my success that year.
That's awesome. Question about the training. So obviously you've been doing American Ninja Warrior 8-9 years now, right? That first time, now you're in shape, you're a personal trainer, but I'm sure there's a lot different types of training, from you're doing squats, bench press, or just to like look good or be healthy versus competing in these obstacles. What is the difference in training for American Ninja Warrior than typical training that we, you know, the average person does in the gym?
So my typical training in general was just, you know, free weights and stuff like that, body weight, running, jumping, excuse me. And all that is extremely beneficial, but Ninja Warrior and obstacles, it's full body movement, it's spatial awareness, so it's a total different ball game. So you really have to be a really good, well-rounded athlete. You know, like they say, like climbers are good, gymnastics, because they're flipping and they're using their upper body strength. So I had to really, you know, at the time, that's when a new gym, obstacle gym in Dallas opened up, and so that's when I had the opportunity to start training for it.
Wow. That made the biggest difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going from just, I'm an athlete building my muscles by training normally to I'm actually training on the things that I'm going to compete on.
Yep.
Exactly. Night and day, I'm sure.
Oh, it's unbelievable the difference between actually being on something, because you know what to expect, you know what it feels like, and there's only so much kind of raw ability can do on something that's brand new to yourself, your mind, your body. So yeah, having access to obstacles is huge to be successful on there.
And that's something that I've seen through the evolution. I've been aware of American Ninja Warrior early on when it was probably on one of the more random cable channels. Now you've got it on the main ones. They've got these huge productions. Actually, a company I work with, PRG, is one of the companies that produces it, so I feel that little tie there. But one thing that's happening, we'll get into this a little later, but is I remember seeing videos of whoever was like the best dude back in the day, and he was building all his own stuff. And it was extremely unique that somebody would do that or have access to any of these obstacles. Nowadays, kids are growing up, like my son, going to this facility where you're at, having the opportunity from age 5, 6, 7 to train on those things, and I can just imagine what those kids are going to be doing, you know, in 10 years on those courses.
That's going to be crazy. I mean, this the evolution in such a short time from the time that I started. You know, you got the guys building the courses like David Campbell. He was out there building stuff, and
yeah,
you know, he had a lot of success out there. And but now there's gyms popping up all over. There's still, in the grand scheme of things, not a whole lot of access, but they're definitely growing so quick. But
yeah,
these kids are starting at 5 years old and in their younger years, and these kids, they get it. They catch on very quickly. I'm seeing kids that started at like 12 years old, and in 2 years, they're flying, they're leaps and bounds past what I can do.
Yeah.
So, and they're spending a lot of time because this is their new game. This is their new fun thing to do. So where I was training twice a week, working a full-time job, these kids are here training every day just for fun, hanging out in the gym for 5 hours, doing all these tricks.
Right.
And it's amazing to see these kids fly. I mean, like I said, your son, like in 1 year, he'll be night and day compared to what he was when I first met him there.
Right.
And so it's fun to watch. It's fun to see kind of where this thing is going. You can kind of see like, okay, this is like LeBron James at this sport here, or you know, I feel like I'm the Magic Johnson, you know, like like old school behind the back. But there's benefits to having that kind of being an OG in the game, and as these young bucks are coming up. And so I want to make sure I play a role in keeping the sport on the right track and make sure it's represented well as it continues to evolve. Because it's something that's so big and so great, I think, for the community and for families, that I want to make sure that it does stay on the right track.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how you've positioned yourself for success. You're one of the more prominent athletes in Ninja Warrior. People know who you are. In my skateboarding experience, I felt like I was able to do a lot more than just my core talent would enable me to do, partially because I understood sponsorship. And so the brands who backed me, I really backed them. So I was a great brand ambassador. And so I probably got more sponsors and had them for longer because I was valuable rather than I was just the best skater around because I wasn't. What has your thing been, whether it's personality, whether it's helping other people, whether it's outreach, spreading the word of Ninja Warrior? How have you positioned yourself strategically to succeed long term?
I'm glad that you asked that. So some similarities to your story, and I was not the best ninja, still not the best ninja out there, but I carry myself a certain way. I try to be professional. I try to be very inviting and engaging with everyone. So whether it's the camera guys on the set or the janitor in the background or the top dog executive producer, I'm making an effort to engage them, to show them who I am, thank them for being there, and just in other competitors as well, because that's I've always been about connection and engaging with people. And I think that's the main thing that served me well, is always had a positive attitude, you know, just responding to failure the right way.
Yeah.
I'm sending the right message out there. And I think people see that and they want me to keep promoting that out there. And also when it comes to brands and different companies, they see that wanting to be represented in their brand as well.
Right.
And so I really took that to heart and really made an effort to make that a priority when I'm out anywhere, is to make sure I'm engaged with other people, giving them some encouragement, and just letting them know that, hey, like, you know, I'm here for you. You know, whether I meet you for one time, may not see you again, but hey, just I'm easily found, but I just want to help people, and I think people can feel that.
That's super cool. You talked about how your mom was the first person to come greet you after that devastating fall in your first attempt. Obviously, you've grown up to be a very well-rounded person. You have great values. You treat people the right way. What type of role did your mother play in shaping you to become the person you are today?
Huge, huge. So she's a teacher for over 30 years, you know, elementary school kids. And so she always just cared. I could tell.
What grade did she taught? I'm
so curious. Second grade was the main.
Okay. She did my mom's a fifth grade teacher.
Okay.
So I was curious. Yeah.
A lot of respect for my teachers out there.
Yeah.
And that's probably where I got the kind of coach thing from, because you know, I didn't grow up being a coach or a leader to others, but I saw what she did for her kids. And so just a positive, I mean, her energy is crazy, and they loved her on the set too. So
cool.
So I just try to like emulate what she represents, you know, just the values, caring. And she was huge in just the getting me back out there. Hey, like, even when I didn't kind of know my way, she was like, hey, just, you know, keep pushing, find out what you're interested in, and I support you. You know, she didn't put pressure on me to go do this and do that. She did say, hey, if I didn't find a job, I'm going to the military.
So, hey, sometimes you need that. Yes. I've had a few of this myself, yeah.
I did need that push there, but, you know, she's just been a huge supporter, a big cheerleader, and, you know, she's very animated on the show, and you know, I let her have that. I'm always going to be her little son, whether I'm 50 or whether I was five.
That's
and
awesome.
So I'll let her get that because she's done a lot for me.
That's incredible. So, you know, what I'm hearing from you is you've really done a tremendous job of supporting others, thinking about others first, using your platform for a lot of really good things. I know you've done this with youth. I know you've done this with the military. So let's start talking a little bit about how you've been involved with schools through your role with Ninja Warrior, and then let's go into some of what you've done with the military.
Yeah, so with the schools, number one, kids, after I've been shown on the episodes and whatnot, I would start getting kids coming up, oh my gosh, are you Carsten Williams from American Ninja Warrior? I'm like, yeah, you know, and so I start talking with the kid, then start talking with the parent, and they're like, hey, you know, we kind of love what your message is about. It'd be great to have you come share that with the kids. And so I would come out to their pep rallies or their some of their fundraising events or their family fitness nights, just to be there and share some encouraging words. And I found that was a huge benefit just to the community. Number one, they had someone that's local that represented them that could come in and speak to that being on TV or having a big platform, but being grounded enough that they can come into any school or business and just to share a message. Like, I'm not too big for the common person or whatnot.
Right.
So I think that's important these days that, you know, I've always been or focused on having that humility. Because I believe if you stay humble, you'll be blessed with more.
Yeah.
Versus if you get that and let it go to your head, then things start getting stripped away from you.
I absolutely agree. So, in fact, I can give a little testimonial with you. In fact, I saw you at the Fairview Town Center the other day. You were just out and about. I was like on some phone call walking around. And I remember we had met one time, our good friend Bob Garrity, shout out, had introduced us. And I remember I saw you from a distance. I was like, I know who that guy is. I was like, how do I know this dude? I was like, oh, that's right. We met one time at the Ninja Complex, and walked right up to you and just like, hey, just want to say what's up. Bob introduced us, and you're, you know, super kind, very humble, and, you know, I'm not a kid, but that's still just that interaction made a positive lasting effect on me. Just the fact that, you know, I respect everything you're doing, and going up to you and you weren't like, don't look me in the eyes.
Yeah, I think that's, and look where we are now, right?
Here we are.
And so,
you know, look at us.
Yep.
Look at us. Who would have thought? Yeah, so you're helping schools, you're helping students. What are some of the main lessons that you're helping students understand when you're talking to them?
Man, number one, just belief in yourself. You know, there was times where when I didn't know kind of where I was going, what path, I feel like less than because I didn't have it all figured out. But I always knew there was something else out there for me. So number one, believe in yourself. I try to tell every kid, hey, believe in yourself. You can do this. And also just pursue what you're interested in. So whether it's playing the flute or something, like, hey, like, do that. Like, you've been given that gift or that skill for a specific reason. So, like, go down that path and explore that. Have some fun with it. Because you never know where it might take you. And the other thing is just positive attitude. I know with kids these days, and you got bullying and whatnot, it's cooler to be nice to someone versus being a bully or talking down to somebody. So I think, especially with just this day and age, I think that's important for the kids to kind of have that. Someone that's in a position of maybe, you know, where I'm established or have some influence.
Yeah.
Hearing that from a person in my position, I think is important to get that message. You know, not just, hey, it's me, I do this cool stuff, but have something of value that you can add to someone else's life. And so I think, and especially when I see that with other kids, I make sure I really just cheer them on for doing that.
Yeah.
So they know that, hey, let's keep doing that. It's being you know, acknowledged and appreciated.
Yeah, it cannot be overstated how important a kind word can be to somebody. Raising this son of mine, one of the things I'm sharing with him is, if you're the popular kid in school, you have power. And there's going to always be that kid or those kids who people look down on or bully. But you being the popular kid, the one people look up to, you have the power to say, he's cool with me, or don't make fun of him, that's not cool. And a lot of people are followers, but we don't often understand, especially as children, that we have this leadership ability. Mm-hmm. We choose to follow instead because we're afraid of what people will think of us.
Yep.
Right? So I love that, teaching kids to stand up in a way to be positive and to have a positive outlook, not just for themselves, but to validate others. And the spirit of positivity can just do so much. In fact, I worked with a coach over the last year, and we were talking about verbal affirmation, like just by yourself in the mirror. And when she told me this for the first time, I was like, Sharon, this is a bunch of crap, right? Because to me, to like look in the mirror and be like, you are chosen, you are favored, you are wealthy, you are wise, all these things, it feels a little hokey.
Weird. Yeah.
And she said, John, how does this feel? You're stupid. You can't do it. You're ugly. You know, all these, and I'm like,
right?
Calm down, Sharon. And there's just so much there that when we talk to ourselves, but also when we share that with others, that's powerful. Have you had experience in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you never know what someone else is going through when you meet them.
Yeah.
They could have a terrible day or whatnot. So if you can speak some life and encouragement to someone else, it's going to do wonders for them. And eventually, you know, it's going to make you feel better as well. But then also with personally speaking those things, especially before a course, I mean, you're like, man, I got one time, I got one shot. I'm telling myself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to hit that buzzer. I'm going to do this cool dance move. Like, I'm here for this reason. I'm here for a reason. Like, those things, I truly believe, helped me in my success on the show and just in general in life. And so it may sound kind of hooky, like you said, but I know that it works.
Yeah.
And I think it's extremely beneficial.
I agree. You know, it's really cool what you've done for people and also what Ninja Warrior has done for you with unforgettable experiences and travel. Talk about what you've done with Alpha Warrior. First of all, tell us what that's all about and then dive a little bit deeper into some of your really cool experiences there.
Man, so probably one of the coolest experiences was with Alpha Warrior. I was introduced to them by Casey Catanzaro and Brent Stevenson, who at the time were like the power couple of American Ninja Warrior.
Cool.
Met them on my second season, and that's where I kind of became friends with them and just kind of stayed tight in competition, always talked to them. And so eventually, Brent reached out and said, hey, man, we got some cool things. He'd already been working with Alpha Warrior, which is based in San Antonio. They build obstacles and stuff. They have a parking lot that's a literally an obstacle course, kind of like a Spartan race type setup.
Mm-hmm.
No mud, just concrete obstacles. Very fun. And so they got a deal with the Air Force where they would bring these, we'll just call them 50 by 50 foot rigs,
okay,
where they would take them to these Air Force base installations and set them up. And eventually I got to be a part of a kind of like a celebrity ambassador ninja athlete where we would go to these Air Force bases and cool. We would go through the course, kind of showcase it with the airmen there,
yeah,
have a little kind of meet and greet and everything. And then they would do a little competition on it as well. And it was just such a fun event.
A competition with the airmen?
Well, yeah.
With between the airmen. Each
so
other?
They would compete cool. against each other. Whoever got the top time actually would move on to a kind of a finals down the road.
Awesome.
Which is really cool. So they were looking for something different to keep their airmen fit that was going to be a little bit more functional. And with obstacles, it's a full body movement. So it just made sense. And we traveled all across the country and then eventually outside the country, which was super exciting.
Yeah, where are some of the places that you had the opportunity to go?
So we went to, first was South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I might be getting the order wrong. South Korea, then Italy, and then Germany.
Mm.
All completely different experiences in general. All brand new to me. I mean, I was getting out of Texas was new to me. So.
Yeah, at first you're like, I'm in Denver. Then you're like, uh-oh, I'm in Denver in this ice cold water. But now you're saying, man, I'm in Korea, I'm in Italy, I'm in Germany. Incredible.
Oh, man, it was, I mean, and what I found out is that, well, number one, we would get kind of in these bases where even some of the personnel didn't have clearance to be around certain things, like getting into different planes and whatnot, and doing going to different trainings and whatnot. It was very cool to kind of have that experience. Some of the memorable ones was the K-9 unit. I forget which base it was at, but K-9 unit, every base has like a specialty or a mission. And this one was a K-9 unit. We went through there. And they're like, yeah, you get to come check out the facility and everything. And guess what? You guys get to try it out, too, and be in the suits. And I was like, oh, yeah.
The suits where the dog comes to attack you?
Exactly, attack suits.
Oh, here we go. I want to hear this story.
I'm not doing this. But then when it came down to it, hey, guys, you're all doing it, right? I'm like, heck yeah, I'm doing it. So I rose to the occasion because peer pressure. And so we did it, and eventually I got in the suit and everything. They told me to run. And they told me to just run that direction, and when you hear the dog coming, just put an arm out so it knows what to attack.
Right.
And so that was a fun experience. I mean, it wasn't fun. It was an experience. It was very cool.
Tell me this. What is it like? Well, first of all, I can just imagine the fear. Anybody can imagine the fear of running after something that's chasing you, but also knowing something that's definitely going to catch you. But what is that experience when you feel that dog latch onto your arm?
The first experience is, I hope this suit is not worn out and all the padding is correct, number one.
Yeah.
But you feel that dog bite, and you can feel the pressure of the bite. You don't feel the hurt, but you can definitely feel some pressure. And man, this dog, like I'm running, this dog brought me to my knees, literally.
Wow.
And it was crazy. It was kind of nerve-wracking, kind of scary, but, you know, the trainer was there and everything. And I was like, man, I never would think that I would volunteer to be chased down and attacked by a dog. But we did it. You know, you only live once. So I checked that box and may not come back to check another one like that.
That's right.
But yeah, it was an amazing experience just to kind of see what they do, the training that they have to go through with these dogs. Literally on command, you can tell the dog to stop and the dog would just release and sit there. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Wow.
So just the amount of work they put in with this to the military and the training is phenomenal and just gives you a whole new respect of what the military does. And I love it, so...
Yeah, obviously they're putting their lives out on the line for us, and so it's so cool. You see a lot of entertainers doing concerts in the Middle East, places like that, and so super cool that... Now, is that something that power couple or American Ninja Warrior or the Air Force instituted? Who kind of initiated that?
So it came from Casey. It came from the Air Force wanting to have some kind of event with Casey to have her come out and just kind of either speak to the airmen or whatnot. And it turned into, I guess, when they got to talking about, hey, we have obstacles over here. And then I guess the idea came about, hey, like, instead of just having Casey by herself, we can actually bring some obstacles with her and have her, like, do something more interactive, a little bit more fun.
Sure.
And they liked that. And so once they got that, they wanted to take that to something bigger. And that's when they got the contract with the Air Force. And now they also work with the Army as well. And so it turned out to be just an amazing concept.
And when you go out there, how many ninja athletes are going?
So it was around 2 to 3 per. We had like 2 different teams.
Wow.
So it was me, Casey, and another. It was Kevin Klein at one point in time. And then there was another team that was going to other bases like Japan and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And so it was a small kind of entry. We had almost like a security detail with us as well. Like they're kind of our handlers, I guess you could say.
Sure.
And these are also the guys that would set up the rigs, the obstacles as well. But they're also kind of doubled as our security. And so it was just a really cool experience, kind of like walking to Air Force Base with like clearance, and at the checkpoint, you know, they got their M16s there, whatever it was. I'm like, oh, this is like real. You know? I don't want to make any wrong gesture, right. Do anything crazy, because there are like different rules and stuff on the base as well, like, you know, taking your hat off at certain times and, you know, don't cross that line, you might get shot, you know. Little things like that.
Little things, really you cool. might get attacked by a dog.
That too.
Without the suit. Man, that's so cool, because here you are, just one of a handful of handpicked people, a long way from that gym looking up at that TV, seeing the application process and making that terrible video. What do you think about when you look back and say, wow, at 32 years old, kind of didn't know my direction in life, I took this chance, it started terribly, didn't give up, persevered, this is what I'm doing now. What is that like?
It is, wow, it's... I say that whole experience is really just, I mean, it's mind blowing, number one, but it's a testimony.
Yeah.
It's a testimony to, if you set your mind to something, you can do it. You may not know what the end game looks like.
Yeah.
But if you're getting that pull or that tug to try something, like, just do it. Like,
yeah.
I stepped outside of my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main things I can say is step outside your comfort zone, try something. You never know where your path is going to be unless you take that first step.
Good point.
And even though my first step, my first experience on there was not, didn't go as planned.
Right.
But that's life, right?
Yeah.
And you got to be able to bounce back from that. So I'm actually thankful that that happened on my first experience because it prepared me for something greater.
Yeah.
And so as we walk through life, you know, I think everyone just, you have to stay grounded, you know, stay humble in all your actions and experiences, but just know that there's something more out there.
Yeah.
And pursue it, and you'll be surprised on what comes after that, after making that first step.
I love that. I've experienced some of that on my own as far as taking steps down paths where I wasn't sure where they would lead. Most recently, entrepreneurship over the last 2 years, and I saw this Indiana Jones movie not too long ago. And there's this scene where he's going after the Holy Grail and he's got to go through all these things. And there's this huge pit and he's got to get across it somehow. And what he realizes is it's an invisible bridge. And so it's, you know, it's a step of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he reaches out with his foot and the invisible bridge is there and it catches him. And I think that's the story of entrepreneurship. And you're now embarking on your own entrepreneurial journey. Talk a little about what this next chapter is and what you're seeking to do.
You know, and kind of just backing up a bit to that previous comment there is, you know, you have to really, you know, believe in yourself as well. And, you know, I'm a big firm believer now for sure is that, you know, God can take someone like myself that I didn't really have much going on.
Right.
But he'll take that person and exalt them because they know that person is going to be able to give back and glorify God and send the right message out there. So no matter where you're at, like, hey, you have value and you can go and do things far beyond that you ever imagined. And so which brings me to the next chapter now. You know, I've enjoyed, you know, working and directing fitness or ninja facilities for the past, you know, 4 years, and that's been phenomenal. I love the relationships that I've been able to build with kids and families and bring communities together, you know, kind of like you with your son, both in there having fun. Like, I love what that does for bringing families together. And so now the next chapter is working on something new, something special, and where we can do not only that, but involve my passions of personal training and fitness and
awesome.
And just in outreach. You know, I think Ninja Warrior and that kind of gym and facility can really do a lot for just not just the communities, but you take care of your community, then that can expand to across the nation and across the world. It's all about the message and what you're sending out there. So, which brings me back to the new thing. And we're going to call that Ninja Project.
All right.
And that is the project of using Ninja to bring communities together, to help build kids' confidence, self-esteem, and using Ninja as a vehicle to make that happen, to really expose it to the masses. Because I know what it's done for me personally.
Yeah.
I know it can do for individuals, kids, and people of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really something that I'm excited about with my other team as well. And I can't wait to really unveil that at a later point. But stay tuned. It is coming.
Awesome. So we'll keep some of those specific details secret for now, but I want to talk in generalities so that people who are listening and watching this episode can get excited and understand what Ninja can do for them. So the way I see it, you know, you can expand on this if you'd like, but I kind of see two main target markets where you've got children, right? You've got kids like my son, and you've got parents, because guess what? When I take Johnny to this Ninja facility, I got to be there too, whether I like it or not.
Right? He can't drive himself.
So let's start with the kids. What are some of the obvious and less obvious benefits to Ninja and what Ninja is all about that can benefit our kids?
You know, some of the obvious benefits are just the physical aspect. You know, kids are going to improve their fitness. They're going to be running, jumping, things that they should be doing in general, naturally.
Which is happening less and less.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a big esports guy, big advocate for gaming, but also a big advocate for getting away from those screens, which is extremely important as well. Yeah.
And for the record, Carson Williams is a big gamer. I'm an OG gamer.
Yeah, what do you, what'd you play?
So my staples were like, well, kind of the console, the first-person shooter, like Halo, and I was playing, you know, SOCOM, Call of Duty, I mean, Doom back in the day,
yep,
for my old cats out there.
Of course.
And also just the Nintendos, the Zeldas, the Marios. Like,
yeah.
I was raised by a joystick, okay? So,
there you go.
Just so people know. But you can also do both and be active as well.
Joystick to the gym.
Yeah, there you go.
I hear you.
So going back to the obvious benefits, you know, physical fitness for the kids. But one thing that is really good is the social aspect. You know, kids get to mingle and make new friends and some of the kids that I would see kind of make new friends, they would eventually go out and do stuff together. The parents are doing stuff. And so now you're bridging the gap of, you know, when normally you wouldn't maybe interact with someone, but now your kids are friends now, so you're now developing new relationships.
You're also giving people a place where they can enjoy those friendships. You know, I've got a park by my house. Me and Johnny, star of this show, apparently, can't mention him. We're going to our park all the time during the summer, during the spring, early fall, during the winter. Like, I got to go somewhere, whether that's a trampoline park where he's going to break his arm probably, or these other places. So you're not just facilitating, you know, these friendships and community, but you're also giving that place for that to happen as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a place where no more you can feel safe. It's, you know, the padding in there, and, you know, you got people kind of watching and helping you, assist you through the obstacles. So, you know, I think that's really important where, you know, kids can express themselves, you know, with obstacles. It's all about, it's problem solving as well. So kids get to think through what's the best way to get through this obstacle. And if I can't do it right now, then how can I do it at some other point? What kind of victory can I get today to build on that, to eventually overcome and beat that obstacle? Which, that's why I love the whole just general message about obstacles and as it relates to life. And so you're life proofing the kids.
I love that.
To be able to overcome obstacles. So I just love everything about it. And now the families, you know, the parents are now having fun too. They get out there, they're just out there for the kid. And now they, let me touch this obstacle here. And, oh, there's a zip line here. And they get involved. And so we've had so many parents that got involved with it and have really taken it as a passion of theirs because they were there originally just for their kid.
Yeah, I've experienced that too. I think every dad in his 30s and 40s who takes his kid to one of these facilities is looking at that stuff and like, I could do that. And there are those opportunities as well, right? In fact, I've seen opportunities for fitness classes that are unique. I can relate to the fact that there's been, you know, when I work out, I've always liked to lift. That's just, that's my style of working out that I like. You know, you feel good when you're like pushing that weight. Obviously, you can tell that I work out all the time. But,
jacked.
It's under the shirt, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, I had some shoulder injuries recently, and so now I can only do cardio. And so, and I'm like, I don't like to be on the elliptical or the treadmill or the bike, you know. And so one thing I really like, I'm looking forward to personally about your facility, is different ways of working out and staying fit to, I don't know, avoid plateauing with your body or just having fun in the gym in a way that sometimes people really dread experiencing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of time, you know, I think everybody in general wants to be in shape or take care of their fitness.
Yeah, feel good. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think generally we all want that. But now, you know, people are looking for different, you know, unique ways to make it fun again.
Yes.
And so if you have fun doing it, you're more likely to continue doing it. And so that presents some opportunity there to integrate obstacles with fitness as well. You know, let's make it fun so you can engage your body in different ways and also give that new stimulation that your body is looking for to get those gains, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can combine that with your free weights and your lifting as well. And so there's just so many opportunities to use obstacles in that kind of environment to create the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be the hardcore competitor like myself.
Sure.
Or you can just be someone that wants something new to stay active.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of benefits, crossover benefits from other sports as well. You know, so if you're a baseball player, soccer, ninja's still going to be great for your body and your physical abilities. That'll help you improve in those other areas that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just, I just have a, you know, definitely have a bias towards ninja. But I've just seen what it's done for me personally. And then the individuals that their, you know, lives impacted just from my experience in that gym.
Yeah, from a fitness perspective, what are the main physical benefits? I think core, I see balance. Is that accurate? Are there others that people be receiving those benefits of?
Yes, balance is such a big one there. Core strength, just, you know, just different environments, because, you know, it's, you're in a different environment every time. your ability to, you know, injury prevention is a big thing as well. But yeah, that grip strength, you can never do with be have too less grip strength, right? Like,
that's not something you work on very often.
That is
unless
true.
You're on your fingertips or
yes, yeah. There's different levels to that too. So you can do as much many pull-ups as you want, but when you get on that 1-inch ledge and it's just your fingertips on there, like, those tendons got to be strong too.
Yeah.
And so there's so many areas you have to train and strengthen, and it's crazy. Like, I've been doing it for, you know, 10 years now almost, and I'm still have areas that I need to strengthen, which is the 1-inch ledge. That's why I mentioned that earlier. So it's not the funnest thing, but that's the one thing that I need most. So lower body, everything.
Yeah, I think it takes me back to the stereotypical don't skip leg day, you know, but I could think that even people who are regularly in the gym not skipping leg day, there's a lot of other things that can be improved that you don't really have the opportunity to work on because you don't have the equipment, which is unique to the Ninja facility. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you got a great point there. It's just so many things to train, you know, you can do without having to pick up anything, and you can climb this and jump that. And by doing that, you're going to strengthen those different areas of your body just without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Well, I wanted to get back to the, you know, act of competing in Ninja Warrior. What has been your mountaintop experience of all of these years, being on all these courses, all over the country, all over the world? If you could pick one or two, what were those moments?
So definitely season 11, stage one, Las Vegas. That was my sixth time getting to the national finals.
Wow.
I had fallen 5 times straight on that course. So it was like
Is it the same course each time?
Similar course, but they change up a little bit. But for the most part, the core components are the same.
Mm.
And I had fallen on that stage one. And this would be after you've done your qualifier, your city finals. Now you're on stage one, Las Vegas. That's the national finals.
Okay.
Stage one had my number 5 years straight. And then by that point, I'm starting to doubt myself. I'm like, man, maybe I'm just not, why am I failing here? Maybe this is not meant for me.
Not getting any younger.
Not getting any younger as well. Like, hey, TikTok, you know, time's a ticking here. But that moment when I finally conquered stage one in Vegas, that was nuts. It was just so much, like, just stress off my weight off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. So that was probably one of the biggest moments. And then I went on to complete the second stage after that.
Wow.
That was amazing as well. I think the stage one was actually just probably more because it was just, I had so much tied into that.
That mental block.
Yeah, that mental block. And maybe another moment would be, well, season 11, which is when I got the mega wall. So that's, they introduced that kind of towards the back end of the season here, or the different years they've been filming. 18 feet. The normal wall that you see on TV is 14 and a half. It started out at 14 when I first started Ninja Warrior, then went to 14 and a half, and they had a second option, 18, if you wanted to get some prize money, $10,000, if you get it on the first try. Didn't get it on the first try because it was my first time on that wall, or on an 18-foot wall, but I got my second try, and yeah, I went stupid on there once I hit that buzzer. It was just like, it's such a cool, I mean, it's huge, it's big, and just that moment is, it's crazy the moments that you get on Ninja Warrior. I mean, it's just the, like, people see me on there, like, celebrating and going above and beyond. It could look a little, oh, man, he's full of himself, or he's a little arrogant.
Sure.
Like, when I'm up there and I complete a course, like, it's a mental victory for me that I overcame that demon that was pulling me down in life. And so, like, when I hit that buzzer, that's me kicking the devil in the butt saying, take that.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about that. And so that's what I show on TV. And I think that's why they like me, because I'm very animated.
Sure.
And I have all my victory moves planned out. but you gotta envision victory, you know? So that's why I plan those different things out. So those are probably the top two moments I've had.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. First of all, if I'm approaching this wall, how do you conquer the wall? What's the tip you would give me? Let's say I'm standing in front of this wall, and I've been at the one at the facility, and I think I've, because there's little handholds in that one, you can get up a certain way, but I didn't do the top one. If I'm just standing there looking up 14 and a half feet, how do I do that effectively?
Whew, number one, know that you can do it. That's the first step. You gotta have that confidence. Okay, I can get this thing. You may not get it that day, but you can always get it at some point. But the main, I'd say, coaching tip is, number one, you have to make sure you run up the wall and not into the wall, because it's naturally people, they get that sprint going, they're running, and they're going in a straight line.
Can you go too fast? Is that a common
thing? I think you can. If you're going too fast, your momentum is going so far forward.
Yeah,
you almost just like running into a wall, like literally in here. So you have to start, when you start taking steps on the wall, you have to start turning your body up and start looking up.
Okay.
And that'll turn your torso up, and then your body's going to start moving that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So where the head goes, the body follows.
Mm.
So, and then you have to keep running as long as you can, because it's very easy to take a few steps. Oh, I got to go now. You know, because you feel that I got to jump, I got to make that move. A lot of times you can take that one more step and then make that last push to get up there. So key things is, number one, know that you can do it, believe in yourself, make sure you're running up the wall,
mm-hmm.
and basically want to run as long as you can, because the more you can run, the less you have to jump to reach that top. And then the most important step, I try to tell the kids all the time, they always let me down for the most part. You gotta have some kind of victory or celebration move when you get up there. A lot of kids doing the Fortnite and all that stuff now.
Can't be Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
You can't act like you've been there before. You can't hand that football to the ref. Ocho Cinco it a little bit.
Exactly. You got to enjoy it. Like, give people something to watch. I enjoy seeing the kids up there celebrating and doing some cool move or Orange Justice move, whatever the case is. But so that's the package deal when getting up the wall.
Got it. I think there's something to letting yourself celebrate your victories in life, whether it's a big win in business, whether it's climbing up that wall, whether it's, you know, doing that thing that's always gotten you down. I know in my life, I give myself credit for not celebrating, because I don't pat myself on the back. I see life as launch pads, as a ladder of success. And so when I accomplish one thing, I'm not excited about accomplishing that thing. I'm excited about what that thing can lead me to accomplish next. However, the downside of that is sometimes I lack the awareness to smell the roses. Like, what is it about celebrating and letting it out and letting yourself enjoy that moment that you've realized is really positive in your life?
You know, I think a lot of times, you know, life beats us down. Mm-hmm. And so when we have the opportunity, that's an overcoming moment or a victory, whatever that looks like, you need to, it's a way of appreciating it. You can appreciate the victory and celebrate it,
mm-hmm.
but not let that define or be the end all be all. So celebrate and embrace and enjoy it, and then know that there's more work to be done or there's another level to go to. So I think you have to find that right balance of celebrating those victories because you worked hard for it, you earned it.
Yeah.
But then also knowing, okay, like, that's not, I'm not done yet, you know, because that mm-hmm. keeps you working and keeps you, you know, pursuing more. And I think that's also just as important. So, because some people might get caught up in that one victory and, oh, that's it, and they celebrate, but then that's it. There's nothing else.
Right.
You know?
It's that balance, right?
Yep.
Enjoy the moment. Know there's more work to do. I love that. Well, you know, we've talked throughout this episode about, you know, discovering American Ninja Warrior, the ups and the downs, what it's given to you, what you've given back to others, and what your next chapter is about to be. Teasing it, not giving all the details, there's more to come. What have we not talked about? If you want people to come away from this episode with one thing that we haven't discussed yet, what would that be?
Man, you know, I think we covered quite a bit. You know, I would say is try something new. I know I kind of already mentioned that before, but I think it's really important just to, because a lot of kids are afraid to step out based off of, or not just kids, but adults too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is it going to be looked at, or, you know, they're going to judge me for it, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you got to, at the end of the day, you got to do you and find others that will support you in those efforts.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we try to do things on our own. I've been there, still do it.
Same. Yeah. Can relate.
And don't be, you know, too humble to ask for help, you know, because there's people that are out there for you that are going to help you get to that next step.
Yeah.
But you got to be the one to approach and ask them for help, or just be open and receptive to it.
Right.
So I think really leaving this is really just the mindset, because everything that, and just mindset and belief, because those are just two things that really set up everything else. Because if you don't have the mindset or belief in yourself, then nothing's really going to happen, or it will be short-lived.
Sure.
So just make sure that you do you. Because if someone else can have some success and do some great things, then why not you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really have to instill, do have to tell myself over the years. Like, I see this person doing that, well, I can do that too. And they got two arms, two legs, so why not? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the difference is made between those that move on and move up versus those that stay where they are. And so that's my message all the time to kids. And that's why I just want to reiterate that, because I think it's so important this day and age for kids. Mainly, I say kids because they're the ones that are going to build our, you know, that's, they're the ones building the future now.
Like, right.
People my age, they still need the help, but I want to make sure the next generation coming up is set up for success. So everything applies to everybody. Do you believe in yourself, encourage others, and take that step and do you.
I love that. I'm going to build on that with one last point that my mom taught me within the last 2 years during COVID. I've always had a tough time doing stuff when I knew I couldn't win or I knew I couldn't achieve it. And I remember years ago when I was, I think, 16, 17 years old, I remember vividly I entered a skateboard contest for the first time. I knew I didn't have a chance of winning. And it was the hardest thing for me to enter knowing I wouldn't win and still giving it my best. Well, during COVID, I had this goal to pitch myself to a footwear brand to lead esports for them. I'm building a deck and all this stuff. I got excited about it and talked to a number of people, called my mom. She said something that I'd never had my mind view this perspective. And she said, John, how fun will it be to try? Like, regardless of the outcome, like, how fun will that be to try? And what I love about that is, and it's echoing what you're saying, right? Which is, do you go down this path? But even if you don't succeed in the way that is initially in your mind, you will be further than if you had not tried at all. And you may be in a place that's different that will enable you to succeed in a unique way that you never realized before. So if you accept, yeah. I will build on your point. Try.
That's powerful right there. That's you never know what you're gonna get out of that. Just, yeah, like you said, trying, man. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy what you can do. Like, maybe that specific event wasn't meant for you to win, but it was meant for you to do it so you can learn and get something out of that. It's gonna lead you to that next opportunity 100%. Where you can win. You know, so yeah, you gotta look at things from a bigger perspective, a wider lens.
Yeah,
than just what's in front of you and what it looks like. So. Great point right there.
I love that. I love this episode. How can people follow you, follow Ninja Project, if it's ready yet, in the ways that you would like them to?
Yeah, so follow me on Instagram, the Insta, at Team Karsten, TeamKarsten. And on Twitter, I'm not on there as much. Instagram's my main thing. But on Twitter, it's Real Team Karsten.
Real Team Karsten. Real Team and Karsten. Team Karsten on IG.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, we're excited to share this story, excited to see what you do with Ninja Project, and just really appreciate, you know, all you've done to help so many people, and really looking forward to seeing all that you continue to do. So, Karsten Williams, thank you for joining me today on the DLC Drop Podcast.
John, thanks for having me, brother.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the DLC Drop Podcast. This podcast is part of the Esports Futurai Podcast Network and produced by Innovation Media Enterprises. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast channel and leave us a review.